Romans chapter 4, the first part, the faith of Abraham. Paul is moving into illustrations for the next quarter of this book, illustrations to help us understand the principles of what he's been teaching us up till this point. Well, just a short review, just to keep the remembering what the, as the book is unfolding, the gospel, and then directly tied it to the problem. You know, we're all under wrath, people under wrath, and we need an answer for that we don't have in ourselves. The continued theme of outward versus inward religion, which really is the rest of the book, quite honestly. That is the challenge probably of human existence. We're very proud, we want to do things our own way, and we make up religious systems that seem to make sense, and people follow them, and that was certainly what the Jews were dealing with. And again, the main point of chapter 4 is that, illustrative point or an example point of the difference between inward versus outward religion. The doctrine and pervasiveness of sin in Romans chapter 3, and the answer, as we saw last week, is we have been just and are justified freely. Are Jews any better? No, not at all. We have already charged that all are under sin. All have sinned. None righteous, that terrible commentary. But that Christ has come and did what we can't do. And that's wonderful news. God speaks hope into our hopeless situation with three key phrases. The righteousness of God has been manifested, which is a weird way to say it today. It just means that he's brought it out into the open, apart from the law or through faith, which again we dig into in chapter 4. God's answer to our problems. Jesus is the answer to all of our problems every day, all day. And it doesn't just stop at salvation, as we talk about with our counselees quite often. Yeah, we need the gospel. We need it desperately. We need it every day. All have sinned, but all can be justified freely through Jesus Christ, or to the grace that is in Jesus Christ. In verse 24. We're just going to read the first half of the passage this morning. I had meant to read the whole thing, but just 12 verses were on my slides, and so I must have had a reason for that when I put this together. Read with me, follow along as I read the first 12 verses of Romans 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Do you get that catching of the theme there? That there's something going on in the difference between inward and outward religion. There's something going on that we need to unpack and understand. If Abraham has something to boast about, not before God, right? What does the scripture say? And you remember later in the chat, Paul just keeps on unfolding this and making it personal to the Jewish nation. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but his due. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count as sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? Do you get that point? Isn't that interesting? It's counterintuitive to say that the blessing of faith comes by a work, right? You see what I'm saying? You see what Paul's saying there? Is it for the circumcised or only the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that the righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Wow, what a cool illustration and a helpful unpacking of the faith of Abraham. pray with me, and we'll ask God to guide us through this passage this morning. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for these examples of people who were certainly not perfect, far from it. Both Abraham and David had horrible things in their lives that they did, and horrible attitudes and horrible behaviors. But you counted them as righteous based on their faith, and it's hard for us to grip that and grasp it in the most meaningful of ways. Use your word as it's intended and help us today. You know what we need. I pray that this beautiful message would not be lost on the heaviness of this day, and it would just be something that would continue to encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Abraham, who started out as Abram, God changed his name, we'll look at that here in a little bit, was what I would call the pinnacle of being right with God. And the people who Paul is mostly addressing, this certainly would be what they're thinking. Abraham, if I could be like Abraham, I could be okay, right? I would be right with God. And so part of being human is that unpacking of that. Recognizing that we're sinners and we're sinful. Recognizing that we have to figure out what's true, and having ideas and opinions, and God not giving us a Bible that is 10,000 times thicker than it is. He wants us to use the brains that we have, right? But then at times what we do is we come to conclusions that are not right. And the Jewish people had done that. They had come to conclusions that were not right. And they had come to conclusion that, okay, well, if Abraham is the pinnacle of faith, then I need to do what Abraham did. Well, what did he do? Well, they said he was circumcised, right? That's the conclusion they came to. He was circumcised. That must be what it is. He was just chosen by God. And certainly Paul is helping us see that. That's backwards. He was circumcised because he believed, as we say, not circumcised and then accepted. But he is the pinnacle. Notice this. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. The friend of God. Man, I mean, that's amazing testimony that Abraham was called God's friend despite all of his issues and all his problems. He was a forefather of the Jews. Started out as Abram. God called him out of a pagan land, Ur of the Chaldeans. Sent him to the promised land. Over there in the Persian area, Ur of the Chaldeans, Iraq, Iranish, in that whole area. Sent to the promised land, and God made a covenant with Abram. God would be his God. He and his descendants would be God's people. And so God chose Abraham and sent him and said, "You will be my people." God changed his name from Abraham, father, to father of many or many nations. Multitude of nations, it says, father of multitudes, literally. Changed his name to Father of Multitudes, which, you know, God has a sense of humor. And Abraham was childless, right? And he called him Father of Multitudes. And it wasn't lost on Abraham, really. If you think about Abraham's life, there was only one thing that mattered to Abraham. A son. An heir, right? And he chased that, and he wanted that, and it was just God's grace to work him through that whole situation. Now, there was an aspect of the covenant that God made with Abraham in Genesis that was he had to be circumcised, right? Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Wow, right? I mean, that's crazy. He was super old. And God gave him 72, I think, years after that, or 76. 73 or 6, I can't remember exactly, but he lived a good long life. So because of this, though, because God gave him this covenant, right? It is a covenant, right? It's a relational agreement that they entered into. And Abraham agreed that all of his descendants would be circumcised, which they didn't do the best job of. You'd think that would be one they would nail, and they really didn't. I mean, even Moses, he didn't have his kids circumcised until he's calling, you know, God calling him out of Egypt. But they had this covenant, and so the Jews just associated that covenant then with being right with God. And you could see it like this. If you just do this one thing, then you're right with God, right? And that morphed in the Jewish understanding over time. What do you do to be right with God? Very important. So what Paul is continuing to unpack for us is the works versus faith debate. Based on Abraham, based on the circumcision, and based on Jewish heredity, you would think that you could be right with God. The Jews thought that they inherited, if you will, justification. They thought that we're right, or even we are righteous, because we are Abraham's seed. They certainly raised that issue with Jesus, didn't they? You guys are still in bondage. Well, we've never been in bondage to anyone except for right currently, right? You know, they currently were in bondage. We've never been. We're Abraham's offspring. You see, they grasped onto that they belonged to Abraham, and they held that their heredity as justification. They thought they were right by God because of their works. It started with being Jewish. They added circumcision. Then you keep the law, keep the traditions, including, and more importantly, especially the Pharisaical traditions, which were there to safeguard you. And then you also follow the sacrificial system. In their mind, God measures who you are by what you do. That makes sense, doesn't it? And that's what I think. I don't know. I mean, you can't say anymore because the world has gone wacko, but I think that's the default position for human reasoning. You know, everything in the world works like that. If you do well, then you're accepted. If you provide a service, then you people want you around. If you don't measure up, then you're out, or you're diminished in people's minds. You know, or if you don't deliver what they think you should deliver, or whatever, right? And so they would think, well, of course God works like that, right? He has to have some kind of a system by which your good outweighs your bad. But we know. There literally is a system of that. It's called the law, right? We know that we are failures at the law, though. That's the issue isn't whether there's a system. The issue is, can you keep it? No, absolutely not. You can't keep it, right? You can't keep it perfectly. Abraham didn't. Abraham was just dunk it up all the time, right? Abraham is used as an example of how to be right with God. And so we're looking today and talking about the faith of Abraham. My friend, God accepted Abraham, and God made a covenant with Abraham. And you remember, God promised to keep the covenant himself when he made that covenant. And maybe they didn't think that through very well or understand that. But the point that Paul is reminding us is that Abraham was not justified by his works or his heredity. What shall we say was gained by Abraham according to the flesh? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. He had to be justified by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And Abraham's faith is the issue. And so, you know, again, this is something, and Jesus said this often, you should know, you should have known this. You have the scriptures, you should have known, but they didn't. They didn't get that. There's a glaring problem with their theology at the time. The forefather of their faith was not justified by works. That should always be something that gets your attention, shouldn't it? You know, if we think, because an honest believing Jew in that time would sit back and say, oh, wow, I think that Abraham's a pinnacle of faith, and if I just be like Abraham, then I've got it made. But then Abraham didn't make it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't be perfectly holy. He needed to believe. He needed the faith that God would redeem him, that God would justify him. See, there's a glaring problem with their theology. Their beliefs were rooted in the wrong place. It was self-righteousness, if you will. It's not the saving, justifying righteousness of trusting in Christ. So we go back to Genesis 15 and we see it. What is Abraham's faith then? If Abraham's faith is on display and Abraham's faith being grabbed onto wrongly is the issue, then let's figure out how they should have grabbed onto Abraham's faith. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham way back in Genesis 15. You remember? In 17 is where we're seeing the covenant. We'll throw it up there again, but in 17 was where we were seeing the covenant. And now here, back in 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward will be very great. But Abraham said, I'll say that many times probably. O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, of the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And she brought him, and he, God, brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Wow. The number one thing, really literally the only thing Abraham, he had it all, but he didn't have an heir. It's all he cared about. And he said, you'll have so many offspring, you can't even count them. And he believed the Lord. And that's faith, right? He looked at the evidence, and the evidence said, you're never going to have an heir. And God said, you're going to have as many offspring as there are stars. And Abraham believed him. That's what faith is. And God counted that to him as righteousness. And that's what God is desiring, is that trust in him. That's what the faith of Abraham is. Fear is a problem. First one, Abraham had a fear, no heir. Fear not. Fear is the absence of faith or trust. And God was reminding Abraham to live, or Abram, to live by faith. God spoke into his fear, didn't he? Abram said, what will you give me? I'm childless. I still don't have any children. And he was getting upwards to 100 years old. God's promise involved descendants and inheriting the land. And so Abram was faced with this impossible dilemma. God has said, here's what I'm going to give you. And then Abram looked at the evidence and said, that is not possible, right? Including crazy things that he and some schemes that him and Sarai had cooked up and things. But then God spoke into him and he said, okay, I believe. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. He counted it to him as righteousness. I'm literally quoting that passage right there in Romans chapter 4. So the truth about Abraham, he was a sinner just like the rest of us. God called him out of a very idolatrous country. A very idolatrous, terrible, pagan country. Genesis is full of his failures and sins. He lied about his wife in Genesis 12, 10 through 20. And said she was his sister and kind of gave a half-truth in there and knowing what it was deception on his mind. Then he did it again in Genesis 20. Lied about his wife again. Crazy town. He did that to protect himself. Isn't that interesting? Is that a man of faith, right? You see what I'm saying? He was a sinner just like the rest of us. He doubted God's promise of a son. He couldn't figure out, and he didn't know what God was going to do, and he was brokenhearted about that. He tried to work around the promise with Sarah, and Ishmael resulted from that, which has been a terrible problem ever since, right? You know, the Islamic people and their hatred of the Jews trying to kill them forever, quite honestly. And God blessed Ishmael even because of it being a descendant of Abraham. Abraham, the truth about Abraham is he had no righteousness of his own. He would have had to have been perfect to be accepted, and that's what righteousness means. It means right. It's correct, right? It's perfect. And the Jewish people would point to the circumcision and they would say that Abraham was justified because he obeyed God. And just like in all lies, there is an element of truth to this, because real faith produces works. Real faith is not devoid of works. In other words, it would be absurd, James chapter 2, it would be absurd to say that Abraham believed God and ignored his command. Right? I mean, that'd be absurd. Be like, yes, I believe everything you say, but no, I'm not doing that. That's not faith either, right? That's something weird, some bizarre human gymnastics of the mind. The Jewish people had it upside down. They believed that the work justified the person. And there's functional or practical reality there that is very important, isn't there? Because what we see in the world, and we're just centering around how the Jewish religion has lived out, but we see around the world is anybody that cares, which increasingly fewer people do, anybody that cares out there killing themselves trying to do enough good works to get themselves right, right? And they're trying to make some sort of a balance, and then the balance is ever shifting, because then you just start to compare yourself to worse and worse people, right? Prisoners do it. Yeah, I murdered a family, but I didn't murder two families, right? Like the guy down the cell block. And you start to try to balance out your good works versus your bad works. And then you think, well, then surely God has to accept me. The faith of Abraham is the opposite. Abraham believed God and good works followed. God worked in his life and the faith of Abraham drove him to please God or to do what God called him to do. It's very important. It seems subtler. It seems, humanly speaking, if all you thought of was a human way, that it's not that big of a deal, but it's critically important. It's complete opposite, quite honestly. It's the exact opposite of each other. They're at the other ends of the spectrum. What was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. Abraham was justified by faith in God. He believed God, and the issue of faith is trusting God. God counted it to him as righteousness 11 times in Romans chapter 4, is that stated. We call that imputed righteousness, righteousness that you get on, someone puts on. Imputed means to put on. And it means God's stamp of approval. God stamped Abraham as righteous. And then when God could look at Abraham, he'd say, there's a righteous man. It's not that God is fooled. It's not that God missed Abraham's current continuing sin. It's just that God took that faith and accredited it to Abraham's account as righteous. Based on Christ, we know today, right? We know that today. And it's not because Abraham earned it either, right? Notice the wages that keep coming up in Romans. To the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but his due, right? Now, some people are different, but if you go out and you put in a hard day's work and you do what you're asked to do for the agreed upon amount and you get paid, you don't say, well, thank you for that really kind gift, boss. You're super nice to me, right? You might. That's probably go a long ways, honestly, right? Sometimes, but no. I earned that, right? I earned that. Give me my money, right? I earned that. And that's appropriate because you did. You worked for it. But if you did nothing and someone gives you the same amount of money, that's a gift. And you say, thank you. Wow. You know, I didn't do anything to get that. To the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift. You have to pay taxes on that, right? It's not a gift. So, again, the faith of Abraham is a grace versus works argument. Works earn wages. That's just how it is. Now, here's the wage that we get, right? It's because our works don't measure up. And hear this, and I don't know that we can ever grasp this to its depth that it needs to be grasped as our time here on earth, is that our works are sinfully motivated. Even the good that we do is trash. Sinfully motivated. And I'm not saying that no person can ever do good or think that they're doing good or have the best, but boy, your heart, you don't even know yourself, right? Just expecting to get something back or you know, there's just so many layers to that. We earn death. That's the wages. The one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but his due. God's grace comes as a free gift. The one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. And you see, you have to see yourself in that light. You're ungodly, right? You know, we got Romans 3 to prove that to us. You have to see yourself as in need, not able to do it on your own, not able to make your way to God, not able to be justified by yourself, not thinking of yourself as having just enough goodness to outweigh your bad. You don't. You have to believe. You have to believe that what God has done on your behalf in the person of Jesus Christ is literally enough, past, present, and future, for every person and every sin of all time. We are only sinners that are saved by God's grace. And again, notice the earning and the grace there, the free, earn, gift, earn, back and forth. By grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Remember in Romans 4:3, if Abraham has anything to boast about, he doesn't have anything to boast about before God. He didn't earn it. God even gives us the grace to believe. You know, we have to reckon with that. To the one who does not work but believes is justified. He believes in him who justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted as righteousness. Oh, I'm not ungodly. I just do bad things every once in a while. Yeah, it's not the Bible's. It's not the Bible's commentary, is it? Right? We need something outside of ourselves. Now, notice David is thrown into here as well. And I don't know if you've meditated recently on David's life, but he was the man after God's own heart. He did great things. He had a lot of faith and wrote a lot of psalms, wonderful, helpful psalms. But the man was a bit of a mess as far as sin was concerned. I mean, he did some evil things, not just awful things, but just straight up evil things. This is David, right? The sweet psalmist of Israel. And that's just in our Bible reading just recently. Solomon's getting ready to become king through some other, again, just rude, terrible family issues with David. And then David's like, hey, here's a list of all the people I want you to kill. Like, what in the world? How is that fair? That's what I was thinking when I'm reading that. Here's your first job, Solomon. You're king now. Kill all these people. What? Right? I mean, the dude had problems, right? Stuff that he didn't take care of in his life, things that he didn't do. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Wow. Right? That's what the faith of Abraham teaches us. That we know that we can't. We have nothing. We don't have any righteousness. And when God forgives you, that's what we're blessing. Literally quoting David from Psalm 32. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. When God makes that change, that's what we're talking about. It's grace versus works. And David didn't go through the rest of his life, at the end of his life, trying to make up for all the evil that he had done. He had to throw himself on the mercy of the Lord and trust God. And again, Abraham received God's grace. Faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How was it counted to him? Before he was circumcised or after? But it was before. Again, another glaring problem with their theology. If circumcision was the issue, then Abraham would have had to have been circumcised before his righteousness was counted, right? Before he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness for that to make any sense, and it wasn't. It was after he believed and was accounted righteousness, then he was circumcised in obeying God's covenant. So two pillars of the faith were not justified by works, but by grace. And if anyone could be justified by works, it would be Abraham and even David. Amen. Right? Even David, because David did great things. And it'd be hard to say, you know, if you look at all the psalms that David wrote and all the ways that David led the nation of Israel to follow the Lord and all the things that he did, and to say, well, I'm better than David, right? That would be hard, okay? Maybe very prideful. But two pillars of the faith, and they had to be justified by grace apart from their works. And so we today need what they needed. The same grace saves us today. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Again, one of those statements that should just get your attention. If this is where your theology is leading you, yike, no one measures up. No, not one. And you need Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your grace and for the blessing of knowing you. Thank you for including us as heirs of Abraham by faith, in faith in Jesus Christ, and giving us that privilege and that joy to know you, to have clearly and now illustratively explained how to be justified. as human beings are really without excuse. We know how to be made right with you. We know what it takes. And God, you have provided that completely. And in whatever way that we don't really fully understand, you give us enough volition to make that choice. It's on us to draw near to you, to have to hear your word and to be willing to accept it, to humble ourselves. Maybe it's 100% you, but it seems like you tell us to call on the name of the Lord and we'll be saved, and we believe that. So God, use this word today and just help us to live by faith, to remember the place of works and the place of obedience, and sort all of that out as well. And just give us grace for the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.